First, though, Congress heads towards summer recess next week, and as they leave town, federal employee issues seem to be on their minds a lot more than normal. Congressman Blake Farenthold is chairman of the House Oversight Government Reform Subcommittee on the Federal Workforce, Postal Service, and Census. He chaired a hearing last week on the future of the general schedule. In our congressional spotlight, I asked Congressman Farenthold if he got what he wanted out of the hearing.
I think for the most part we got some good building blocks to looking at reforming it. We saw a lot of the things that I was kind of expecting to see. We're starting to see the grade compression going, and we're seeing the fact that the bonus system I don't think is working as well as it should. And I think we've got a real problem with not rewarding the excellent performers. I mean, if you're just one of the people that's able to check all the boxes to qualify that you've done everything you need to do, you move forward. Well, we need a way to encourage people to go above and beyond. So if you're a person working in treatment at the VA and you're able to see more people, more patients, serve more veterans than the minimum, you ought to get rewarded as long as your quality is not going down.
The grade compression and grade inflation issue that you addressed is something that I've looked at from a variety of different directions. Do we have a sense yet, Mr. Chairman, of whether the grade compression is happening because of changes in the workforce? You mentioned in your opening statement at this hearing that when the GS schedule system was stood up, the federal government was primarily clerical staff. Now it's a very professional staff. Do we have a sense of how much of that grade compression is because of that professionalism and how much of it is just people getting bumped up and bumped up and bumped up?
I think a lot of it is just people getting bumped up and bumped up. We really do need to step back and look at the makeup of the federal workforce. I mean, there's some things that are common over almost all agencies, but there are also things that are not. And we need to take a look at how to address that and keep it fair, keep it cost-effective, and most importantly, set up the system that it rewards excellence.
We looked at pay for performance in a number of different ways, and I covered extensively the national security personnel system that the Pentagon tried a couple of years back. Do we have a sense of what a pay for performance system would look like? Maybe not even with that name, because that name's not very popular with some of the stakeholders, but what that system might look like, or are we still early enough in the stages of this that we don't have a sense of that yet?
Well, you've got an issue with the federal government. The private sector, a lot of it is based on less objective criteria. It's like you're a manager in the private sector. I ran a computer consulting company. I knew who my good people were, even though sometimes it was hard to articulate. But in the federal government, with due process and all, you've got to have a system that's set up to be fair. And that ends up, if it's not well thought out and well done, it ends up with the situation, well, I've checked all the boxes, so I'm entitled to excellent. Well, if everybody in the office has checked all the boxes, or 99% have checked all the boxes and qualify for a raise or a bonus, that ought to be an indication that there need to be more boxes to check.
Do you have a sense, back to the grade inflation and compression issue, do you have a sense, as you quoted some of the salaries for the grade 12s through 15s, that those salaries are not necessarily commensurate with the work that's being executed, or is it just that we're not sure because of how tightly those grades have been compressed?
I think it's more we're not sure, and we need to go out and look at what the private sector is doing for similar jobs, and it's got to be an ongoing process. We can't let it sit stagnant. It's got to be more dynamic of a process.
That's an interesting possibility, Mr. Chairman, because we've seen any number of studies, and depending on the perspective, we've seen the swing as much as anywhere from 30% under the private sector that federal employees make compared to private to anywhere to up to 30% above.
Yeah. So, and it's difficult to compare apples to apples. Most federal employees are under a defined benefit plan for retirement, where non-government workers are under a defined contribution plan, and that potentially has a huge impact on what you're going to see in retirement. There are a lot of people who would accept less money today, knowing that they're going to have an amount certain in the future. But that same defined benefit plan puts long-term obligations on the government that are difficult to predict with how economic conditions are going to be.
Congressman Blake Farenthold is chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on the Federal Workforce, Postal Service, and Census, and he chaired a hearing called Is the Federal Government's General Schedule a Viable Personnel System for the Future? I would say that I've had a hard time identifying, sir, anybody who would answer yes to that question. All the stakeholders that I talked to seem to agree that changes are necessary. The next step becomes the conundrum, which is, okay, so what do we do about what we've got? And that spectrum of anywhere from scrapping it to fine-tuning it is where people seem to come in.
Right. You know, we're going to have to figure that out. You've got a situation where an OPM workforce survey showed that about only half the workforce thought that pay raises depend on performance. And you want everybody thinking their pay raises depend on performance, and they should. We want to reward excellence.
You pointed out something at this hearing, too, Mr. Chairman, that I talk to federal HR people and rank-and-file employees every single day, and you pointed out something that I think gets lost in this conversation sometimes, and that is that the excellent performers at the agencies want that to happen, too. There's not a monolithic opinion within the federal employee workforce about how these issues should be dealt with.
And that's good. I think the federal workforce is brighter than they're given credit for in a lot of the popular media. I mean, we've got some good professional people in the federal workforce who don't want the misbehaviors, the Jeff Neely's, the guy with the wine glass in the bathtub at GSA, or the lowest learners, to be a reflection on them. You don't want the bad apples to spoil the whole bunch, but very often they do in public opinion and they do in morale.
Congressman Blake Farenthold, what is the next step, sir, to push this forward? What would you like to happen next, either from OPM or from the administration or from you and your colleagues in Congress?
Well, I think our subcommittee and actually the Oversight Government Reform Committee as a whole have taken an interest in it, and we're moving forward. We're starting at the top up. I mean, we're moving along a lot faster with legislation dealing with the managers, the senior executive service, and we may see legislation on that this year. We're running out of time to move down to the GS from the senior executive service this year, but my goal is to at least have it teed up for the next Congress.
As I listened to the opening statement of your ranking member, Congressman Lynch, after you concluded your remarks at this hearing, it struck me that contrary to what people think about the Hill, there are some things that you and Congressman Lynch agreed upon. What are some of those things, or what are some of the places where you could see the two of you being able to agree, work together to move the ball forward here?
Listen, I think we agree on the broad general principles of almost everything, rewarding excellence being the top there. Of course, the devil is in the details, and in a lot of issues, you're going to have to deal with the unions. But, I talked to some of the union leaders back at the Corpus Christi Army Depot in the district I represent, and they agree we need to get it done. We've just got to sit down and start hammering out the details, talk to the experts, and we can borrow from both the labor and management and the private sector and say, how do we invent a system that's fair, that rewards performance, and is flexible to change with the times? I'm specifically concerned about IT. I sense a reluctance in a lot of the federal workforce to adopt a lot of the new technologies that are out there. I'm constantly saying the federal government can't compute its way out of a paper bag, and I think we can make a lot of people's jobs a lot easier if we embraced IT. But that's going to mean teaching some old dogs new tricks. My favorite story was back when I was promoting moving into IT with some of the old lawyers in the law firm I worked at way back when. There was one partner who said, come get this rat thing out of here, referring to the mouse on the computer.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, though, I would suggest that a lot of the federal IT leaders that I talk to that are considering things like moving elements of their business operations to the cloud and other such things, some of their biggest concerns are complying with regulations that Congress has given them, and the fear may be overstating it a little bit, but the concern about making a one wrong move that's going to put them in front of a committee.
Well, I mean, it's certainly in the news today with all the hard drives and the IRS and stuff. But I think we can, as we work through it and determine what's crippling, we can do it. We just got to be a little more flexible and a little more nimble. I'm actually have spoken to Chairman Issa and will speak to the next chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee about actually setting up a technology subcommittee on the Oversight Committee that would deal with just those issues.